Well, good morning. I've been doing some research and I think I've discovered the start of this country's obesity problem that we have. I don't know if you can see that, if you remember that. Naughty but nice. Anyone 1980s, the adverts? And I have to say, when I was thinking about this, I cast my mind back to the 80s when I was at school. And there was a shop called The Piece of Cake, and I used to buy these big, thick cream cakes from this piece of cake, and we used to raise money for our school athletics teams by selling cakes every day. So I think that the power of advertising there was really strong. So Les Dawson, with Naughty But Nice, started the obesity problems. And you know, that could be the catchphrase, couldn't it, for the whole of the advertising industry. You know you shouldn't, but why don't you do it anyway? Well, this morning, as we've said, we're going to be looking at the penultimate of our studies in the Lord's Prayer. When you pray, say, "Lead us not into temptation." And over the weeks, we've, I think a number of the speakers have sort of gone through the context, and I won't do that today, but I just want to emphasize right at the start that this is part of the routine prayer that Jesus gave us. Routinely, we should be praying for protection from temptation. And we're going to see that temptation is all around us. We can't avoid it. It's with us every day of our lives. But before we look at that in detail, I just want us to think for a minute about what these words mean. Lord, lead us not into temptation. And to do that, we're going to read a passage from James. James chapter 1. Verses 12 to 15. We're going to have all the passages on the screen. If anyone does want a Bible, they can raise their hand and they can have one. But reading from James chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the temptation, because the word here for test is the same as the word for temptation, when he has stood the temptation, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. When sin is full grown, this gives birth to death. So we can't say, we are not saying in this prayer, "God, please do not tempt me." There is no point praying, "God, please do not tempt me," because it's impossible for God to tempt, and therefore there's no point praying that. So lead us into temptation isn't saying, "God, please do not tempt me." It is saying something else. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man." Ron quoted this one earlier, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So God allows us to be tempted. He doesn't tempt, but he doesn't allow us to be tempted beyond that we can bear. He always provides a way out for us. So the reality of that is, if we are tempted, we cannot blame anybody else. We especially cannot blame God when we are tempted and we succumb to temptation. We also see from this passage in James that temptation comes from us being dragged and enticed by our own evil desires. The journey, the leading into temptation, if you like, is desire, which leads to sin, which leads to death. It's a model that was established by Adam and Eve, and it's the same model that has been in place ever since for temptation. And that's why we pray, "Lead us not into it." Lord, help us not to be enticed and dragged in by our own evil desires. And an important point, the point at the top, there is blessing for those who persevere and don't give in to temptation. You know, the word persevere and trial is up there. They're hard words, aren't they? They're not easy words. It's not easy to persevere. It's not easy to face trials. They are hard words. It is hard not to give in to temptation. So temptation itself is not the sin. Being dragged and enticed into it is the sin. But there are blessings for those who resist temptation. So if we were to expand the prayer somewhat from lead us not into temptation, I think we could say something like, Lord, we recognize the reality of temptation. You allow it, but you do not cause it. We acknowledge that we are dragged and enticed by temptation, by our own evil desires. But in your strength we can overcome. And when we stay strong and do not give in to temptation, we grow and receive blessings from you. Lord, help us. We're going to spend some time this morning thinking about how we should pray when we pray, say, and how we should pray honestly about temptation, and how we should pray regularly. And then finally, because this could be a slightly depressing subject, I want us to look at a role model that we should always be looking at. So when you pray, lead us not to temptation, pray honestly. I said earlier that temptation is everywhere, it can't be avoided. You cannot run away from temptation. You can think, well, I could become a monk, I'm going to withdraw from the world, I'm going to go and live in peace and quiet, I'm not going to talk to anyone, I'm not going to have any television, I'm just going to withdraw. Well, I believe that monks have a tougher time than most when it comes to temptation, because where does temptation come from? It comes from our own evil desires. So monks are sitting there quietly, and all they've got is their own thoughts, their own feelings, their own temptations. So you cannot escape temptation. You know, it's a reality of life. And during my preparation for this morning, my companion has been the Right Reverend Paul Butler, who is the Bishop of Southampton, on a recently published book, Temptation and Testing. It's an excellent book, and you know, I'd recommend it. But I've just taken some of his titles at the sort of different ways that we can be tempted. Now, we're not going to be dwelling long on each, obviously, because we won't have time this morning. But I thought it would be just good to sort of think about some of these things. So the first one, falsehood. You know, those half-truths and untruths that sometimes we tell. You know, sort of, yes, I'm just leaving work now, darling, I'll be home in half an hour type of thing, knowing full well you've got another half hour to work. Or maybe the gossip that we have at the school gate or at the office at home, or dare I say it, because it's true, at church. You know, those things that we get tempted into with regard to falsehood. It's been mentioned today already, worry. Now, worry and concern for other people is good. That's the right thing. It's what we do with our worry. Showing a proper concern is okay, but if our problem is that we're worrying forever about the future, forever about our appearance, about our health, about, you know, things that the future... Well, Jesus has taught against that, hasn't he? Don't worry about the future, he says. Sometimes we get tempted into worry. Money. Being tempted to think that only if we had just slightly more money, we would be happy and content. That desire to get more and more. You know, I consume, therefore I am. And you know, the credit crunch has come and everyone has said, oh, you know, the world's falling to pieces. Well, I've always looked at it slightly differently and sort of thought, well, maybe this is a realigning for people to think about what they need, not actually what they want. You know, but money, jealousy of what others have and I can't afford. And you know, it wasn't just Bill Clinton that said it's the economy, stupid. Jesus knew that money was such a big draw for us. Look at his teachings. There's so much about money and our attitude to money in his teaching. He knows how important that is to us and how it can lead us astray. Another one is pride. Again, nothing wrong with taking pride in what we do. We should use the gifts that we're given. We should try and do a good job to the best of our ability with God's help. The problem comes when this turns into arrogance, when you expect people to give you sort of the glory and the gratitude, if you like, for what you've been doing, and you think that you've done a tremendous job. You know, maybe that's something that some of us fall into. Power, or the misuse of power, manipulating situations because you can, whether it be at home, again, in all the aspects of life. You know, power, again, within itself, it's something that is there, but misusing it and manipulating. Violence. You know, a lot of these things above there, within themselves, or what they would go through, within themselves aren't wrong, it's how we use it, but violence is one, whether it be physical, verbal, or, let's say, emotional violence, is something that isn't right. And you know, it's one of the most dangerous ones, because it is often instantaneous. You know, you don't plan it. You know, the bus stuff that you have, it just happens. But so often we succumb to that temptation. It doesn't have to be strong, it doesn't have to be highly physical. It can be just very subtle things that we use. Sexual desires and actions, the one that causes so much hurt, so much anguish. You know, when you hear of things like this and you hear that marriages get broken up and such like. You know, fantasies, infidelities, having sexual relationships outside of God's purpose, outside of marriage, misuse of the internet. And you know, it's not a surprise that businessmen and Christian leaders are often so tempted in sexual areas, because God has built into us a desire to have companionship. We don't want to be lonely. We want to have physical, intimate relationships, and the temptation is great, and that is why it's so important to pray for our leaders, for our Christian leaders, that they don't succumb. And again, Jesus knew that this was a major area of concern. Look at the amount of teaching that we have on this area. Legalism. This is an interesting one. Jesus came with a radical ministry, and he battled with the Pharisees day in, day out, because they thought that God wanted to control the way that we should live our lives. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves the question, do we run our lives, do we run our churches, do we run the way that we do things more like Jesus, the radical way, or more like the Pharisees, where we want it to be nice and in control and legalistic? Doubt. How can there be a loving God who allows so much pain and so much suffering? And God, can God really love me? Even through all that I am? Blame. Shifting responsibility onto someone else. It was him, miss. It wasn't me. Or, I have to say this may be a personal one, he just pulled out in front of me, in brackets, when I was driving too fast. You know, a real temptation as well in the workplace to pass the blame onto somebody else. You know, not wanting to be seen to have done anything wrong. And then just to finish, a couple of interesting ones. Not going at God's pace. You know, holding back, being too careful, not allowing God to take us on. Maybe time wasting, just sitting around wasting too much time. But also on the other side, you know, being over enthusiastic, going too fast, leading to insensitivities and trying to do things in our own strength. So, you know, there's a book called The 3 Mile an Hour God. You know, Jesus went everywhere he went, other than when he came in on a donkey, he went in at 3 miles an hour everywhere that he went, because he walked everywhere. You know, going at God's pace as opposed to trying to go at our own pace. And finally, sorry, I'm going the wrong way here, aren't I? Finally, giving up. When things get tough, just switching off and taking the easy route out. Well, what a list. I mean, that's a tough one, isn't it? And You know, we could spend hours in each one, and maybe in prayer care groups, you want to do that, you know, when you can have a more sort of intimate discussion about what our attitude is to some of these things. But you know, when you look at that list, and if any of us think that we don't get tempted, then I have to say you're deluding yourselves. You know, when I look at that list, I know that, you know, I get tempted by most of these, and I get tempted very frequently. But there may be two or three that really stand out, are bold to you, that you know when you look at that list, it's an area that you've got a real weakness. And you know, the encouragement this morning is, don't deny it. Don't hide away from it. You know, pray about it. You know, be honest. And I actually sort of think, pray out loud. You know, so many of these temptations happen in our head. Pray out loud. Go into a quiet room. That's the model of prayer, isn't it, that we're taught in this passage. Go into a quiet room, but actually speak it out and pray to God out loud about the things that you really struggle with. And remember the words of Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. We may be able to hide away from each other, put that little veneer on to make people think that we never succumb to these temptations and that we're all right. But we can't hide from God. So be honest with God. Be specific in your prayer. Don't just pray, lead me not into temptation. You know, as Lynn said earlier, know about where there are issues and pray specifically. We also need to pray regularly. You know, Lynn again has already mentioned it, and it may be just me, I may be wrong, but you know, I get the impression that we're better at asking for forgiveness than we are about praying to be protected from temptation. You know, we almost forget sometimes that the Lord's Prayer doesn't end at, you know, forgive us our sins. We like to be firefighters. You know, we're not that proactive, at least. Maybe that's just an impression, but it's what I feel, at least, maybe, you know, in my life. You know, we're most vulnerable from temptation in two times. One, when we've had a time of great blessing. So we always pray when someone has found the Lord and has just got a faith. We always pray for protection then, don't we? Because, you know, when maybe you've come back from a camp that you've been on, or you've just been baptized, or you've just had a tremendous spiritual time, that's often the time when we can get knocked off and knocked over. And at the other end of the spectrum, at times of stress, tiredness, weakness, we need to pray against temptation, especially at these times, but we need to be aware also that temptation can hit us at any time. That loose comment that someone makes on the school gate, drawing us into a conversation that really isn't that helpful. The advert for something that we've really been wanting, but we know we really don't need it. The magazine cover that just sort of happens to catch our eye as we go into the newsagent. And that child who is overtired and has overstepped the mark for the umpteenth time today, if you know what I mean. You know, and so on and so on. You know, these things just come. So we've got to be proactive. Yes, pray at the point of temptation, definitely, absolutely definitely. But just as important is to bring your weaknesses to prayer when you are not being tempted. And that's why Jesus put it in his model for prayer, didn't he? He didn't say, when you're being tempted, pray this. He said, pray this every day. Lead us not into temptation. And, you know, I think it's also important to say that there are times when we need to share things with somebody else. You know, a prayer partner, a trusted, underlined friend. A trusted friend. You know, if there are struggles and you know that you are continually falling and being dragged and enticed into the same area of temptation, you know, you've been praying and everything else, but actually sometimes it's important that you build up the courage and talk to someone who you know you can talk to in confidence. So pray honestly. pray regularly and proactively. And don't get depressed, because we've got a great God who has given us a perfect role model. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. You know, remember in 1 Corinthians, we were told that we would not be tempted in a way that is not common to others. Well, now we see that Jesus has been tempted in every way. Every one of these things on this list. And there will be others, I'm sure that isn't an exhaustive list. He has been tempted in all of those areas. Some of them we know because it's recorded in the Bible, and many of them we don't. But he would have been tempted in every way. The difference is that in the way that we get dragged and enticed, we go on that journey of desire into sin, into death. Jesus never did. He saw beyond it, and he never succumbed to temptation. You know, we've said that blessing will come for those who resist temptation. And again, we see that in Jesus' life, don't we? Jesus, just after he was baptized, went into the desert for 40 days. During those 40 days, he was tempted on a number of occasions. At the end of that, after he resisted, he started his ministry. He was blessed. His Father blessed him. And how did our perfect role model resist temptation? Well, firstly, we know he knew the word of God. Each time Satan tested him, he went back to the teaching that he had had. He didn't miraculously get the words into his head. He had been taught. He knew the word of God. He could claim that, and he could claim the promises in the word of God. He was aware that temptation could come from anywhere. You know, poor old Peter was there, wasn't he, when he was just saying, Lord, you've just said that you're going to leave us. Well, you don't have to leave us, Lord. That's never going to happen. What did Jesus say? He said, get behind me, Satan. You know, poor old Peter, who was just trying to help, and he's being told to get behind me, Satan. Why did Jesus say that? Because Jesus knew that he was being tempted not to follow through with what he had to do. He was being tempted to give up. So Jesus knew that temptation could come from anywhere. He prayed. I'm sure he prayed all the time, but you know, most notably in Gethsemane he prayed, wasn't he? That if only this could be taken away from him, but not my will, but yours. You know, the temptation could have been there, but he prayed against it. And you know, and I think this may be the most important thing for this morning. We can start to resist temptation, not through our own efforts. You know, me saying, I am not going to do it, I am not going to do it, I am not going to do it. I can say that three times, by the fourth time, I'll do it. Jesus knew, and he was sure, of the relationship that he had with his Father. His Father, who at his baptism had said, you are my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. It is the same for us. We know the security of Christ. We will find that the basis for resisting temptation. We can say, in Christ, God has declared me not guilty. In Christ, he has put me into a right relationship with him. In Christ, I have been adopted into God's family. In Christ, I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and set apart forever. In Christ, I've been declared to be a saint. In Christ, God has declared that I have eternal life. When we grasp hold of that, and we know that assurance, then we will have a real great foundation for resisting temptation. We've got a gospel of grace, not a condemnation. And Jesus Christ, even when he was hanging on the cross, he refused to succumb to temptation. He could save others, but he cannot save himself. Well, Jesus knew that he could save himself. He could have taken himself down. But he didn't. He knew he had a job to complete so that we could be free from the bounds of sin, from the chains of sin. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Let's pray. Lord, we recognize the reality of temptation. You allow it, but you do not cause it. We acknowledge that we are dragged and enticed by temptation, by our own evil desires. But in your strength we can overcome. When we stay strong and do not give in to temptation, we grow and receive blessings from you, Lord. Lord, help us. Amen.